Let me ask a question as I start. Aren't you glad that Christianity, the walk of the Christian faith, is not a solo thing? You're by yourself. Wow. That the life of the Christian is lived out with each other. I've been reading through the book of Acts, and it kind of came out of when Clint Leiter was here with us in December. Brother Clint said, if you read through the Gospel of Luke, you remember what he said? And then go to the Gospel, if you want to call it that, the continuation of the Gospel of the book of Acts. Because Luke's writing and he just keeps going. The glory of Jesus Christ, His resurrection, His ascension, and then the beginning of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, in doing that, I have just been wonderfully blessed in reading of that explosion of the gospel and Christians being brought into the bride of Christ and what their connection looked like. I mean, they were interconnected, right? We need each other. They needed each other. God has called us to essentially give our lives or share our lives with each other. And it's how He ministers to us, one to the other. And so it's a living people, a living body, right? Interconnected. Let me just read qualities or aspects of this early church, Acts chapter 2. Let me just read these to you again. They continued in fellowship. Notice it says continued. This is just continued activity, fellowship. They continued in breaking of bread from house to house. Or in our case yesterday, kolaches. Donuts, juice, whatever it was, breaking of bread, being together. They continued in prayers, being with one another and praying together. They continued in things like this. They had all things in common. They had all things in common. They were quick to distribute. It says, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, isn't that something? You don't need governmental agencies or not-for-profit agencies to tell people how to share if they're Christians, right? How to give and share their lives and their goods and their resources. It says that they continued daily with one accord. And they did eat their meat with gladness. They were happy. And singleness of heart. That's enough, right? That's sermon number one right there. Look at the picture of that. So, what's on my heart today, and I'm going to do it in a very quick, sweeping way, but I'm going to go over a number of the one another's in the New Testament. Now, I know you ladies, when you were together a little over two years ago, y'all took one of your times in discussion, as I remember it, and y'all went through some of these one another's. You know what I mean by that? The one another's. How the body of Christ shares with each other their lives in all of these different ways. So I think it would be very beneficial. It's been many, many years since this was done from one of the elders in terms of a teaching or an overview. And I think it could be like a fresh breeze. Just let them just come. Sometimes when I'm outside working in the summer and I've got a hat on and I'm grungy, I take that hat off and the breeze comes and I just stand there. Let's take it in. You know what I'm talking about? Or sometimes if you've ever been to the ocean and you sit right there where the waves come in, you just plop down and they come one after another. And then a big one comes. Remember we were together and we were sitting there and a big one came and we kind of lost our balance and we held on to each other. Let the waves of truth, let God's Word come today in these one another's. There's going to be a few of them that you're going to go, oh, I have not thought of that. I hadn't really given my heart to that in a long time. And I think they'll be fresh and life-giving in the soul and to one another. So let me just take off running and y'all stay with me. You won't have time to look up all these passages. If you want to just write the references down, that's fine. But just listen to them. Listen like a breeze coming. The foundation is what Brother Lee is teaching on in his series right now. It's to love one another. This is the root. This is the whole life of it all. This is the chief virtue in God's people, love. Love for Jesus Christ, love for one another. So loving one another is the language and the picture and the reality of the New Testament and the Christian church through the ages. Love. They have love one for another. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. A new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That's John 13. Another one from the Lord Jesus. This is my commandment. This is not optional. This is the reality of the Christian life, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So there it is. Christ giving it. What did Paul say over and over in his epistles? Exhortations on loving one another. He said this in Romans. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That's what Paul said. He also said to the Thessalonians, but as touching brotherly love, you don't need that I write to you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You know, 1 John is full of this. We know that we pass from death to life if what? We love the brethren, loving God's people. So it's the reality. I'm not going to spend long on this one because Lee is going over this in much more extensive teaching and preaching through 1 Corinthians 13. How about Peter? Did Peter understand these things? You bet he did. And above all things, have fervent love or charity among yourselves. Fervent, intense, real. For love shall cover the multitude of sins. So the Lord Jesus is our chief example. We follow His example. We love one another. And it's seen in so many different ways of expressing this to each other. So beloved, all the others that I'm fixing to race through flow out of this. Have fervent or increasing love for each other. That cup never gets full, right? Think of the power of the love of God in it being expressed in loving other people, other Christians. It's one of the most clear gospel proclamations that can be made, this truth of loving God and loving others. Another one. Serve one another. We are to serve one another. We are to minister to each other. We are to give of ourselves to each other. We do things, small things, bigger things, giving of time, giving of money, giving of resources, giving of our backs to lift things and move things for each other. Doing things with each other. These are not necessarily planned. They just happen within His people. Serving one another. Ministering to each other. The Lord Jesus said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. There's a picture of serving, ministering, doing things for each other. You sisters, and how you go and do things for one another. Cleaning, fixing, caring for children, ministering. The men doing things to help each other, serving each other. The Apostle Paul, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. We've been called to liberty. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You know, we've laughed through the years, particularly Jeff and I. Oh, it's my duty. I got to go help somebody fix a fence. Ugh. No, it's not a duty. It's a joy, right? Doing things for each other. There's two things that's practical about this. Number one, we ought to be sensitive of trying to find out if we need to help each other, right? And second of all, you ought to be free to share when you have needs. Everybody get that? I know that Brother David helps on car repairs. Different ones have skills and vocational skills and industry skills of fixing and building and doing things. Serving one another. I'll tell you a glorious example of this. And goes back to the church many years ago that we were part of. And Mac and Linda were their families that had some real financial crises, real needs. And it was perhaps the biggest yard sale in the history of Denton. You've probably heard remnants of story about it. It just grew. They had a need, so people clean out the first layer of a closet or their garage. And then things started happening and somebody started dragging stuff out of another part of the house. Well, we don't need that piece of furniture. That old TV over there still works. Get rid of that thing. And we just, more things and more things. Over $8,000 came in that week. This is in 1987, 1988 money, and more than that today. And God delivered them both from that pressure, that financial burden, through a yard sale because God's people just said, "We're in. We're all in on this." It was really amazing. Even people in this town heard about it. Strangers, even some strangers came by and donated things. They didn't know God's in this. They were a part of it. Serving one another. How about caring for one another? Caring for one another. We have to be sensitive to the needs of others. This thing of care. Tender care. If you hurt, we hurt. If a brother is in need, I should feel that. We carry these things around with us. We're caring for one another, whether we're physically with them or whether we're praying for them from the distance. When we hear these things, we ought to be ready to pray, ready to go, ready to minister. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul exhorted that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. This care, this ministry, caring for each other. When I'm going through these today, I suspect that you're going to have things come to your mind, right? That you think of how somebody's done something for you, their care for you. Sometimes it's coming by. Sometimes it's sending a note. Sometimes it's providing a meal. Sometimes it's helping with the children. Sometimes it's helping something in the home. Could be, obviously, could even be a financial need that could be helped along. Caring for one another. The heart of that is what's key, right? You just can't tell people, you can't force people to really care from the heart. It has to be there. It has to be the grace of God. Nobody has to force you. It's in you by the grace of Jesus Christ. Another one, comfort one another. See, these are all exact statements from the New Testament. Serving one another, care for one another, comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This thing of comforting. 1 Thessalonians, the next chapter, chapter 5. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. So this thing of comforting, speaking words of comfort. You think about caring for one another probably has more in terms of action. Comforting is more in words, right? That's what I tend to think of it that way. To comfort somebody. Speaking a word in season. Being there to love them. Sometimes you don't say much. You're just there to feel it with them. And you know it's something heavy they're going through. But they know that you're there. You comfort them. You can use email or texting in short, short pieces that send life to people. Just in the spirit of it. 5 words. 2 sentences. Learn to comfort one another. Last fall, when Brother Bob Jennings, when God took him home, when we went up for the service and came into town, we met for lunch. Remember that? We met early for lunch before the service. And we were with probably 10 or 12 of the brethren from the Sedalia Church. And when we arrived, you could just see on them the loss. It was a healthy thing. It was a God-honoring thing. But they were giving away one of their dear pastors. And you could just feel it. And one of the most moving comments in that whole event that day, particularly in that moment, was one of the sisters in the church there said, "Of all the things I'm going to miss about Brother Bob," and there's all a bunch of them, she said, "I may miss his little words of exhortation and comfort in his little notes that he would write." She said, "Oh, they would give such help to me when I was hurting or facing something, and he just had a way to speak words of comfort." You remember in the Proverbs, it talks about speaking a word in season, ministering. This is in our homes. This is with brothers. This is with other families. This is with others that are even beyond our church, speaking words of comfort. Another one, be of the same mind toward one another. This is unity, being of the same mind. This is not just a bunch of robots. This is people that have unity in the truth, right? In Christ, in the gospel, in the doctrines of the gospel truths, in the glory of God, in a proper view of the church, in a life that's to be set apart, what it means to live, or as it was just prayed, to run the Christian race, run in the faith. Being of the same mind. You realize we can cultivate that? We all have different gifts and thinking and all, but we're united in the truth. And it is something we cultivate. Romans 12, be of the same mind, one toward another. Be of the same mind means the same heart. We grasp, embrace, and love the same truths. We're about the same things. Boy, I tell you what, companies out there, in the free market and businesses, you talk about struggling here, trying to get everybody to think the same way. I mean, they labor to do this. They have human resource departments. They have all kinds of specialists. They hire big guns to come in and try to get everybody to think the same way. Well, you know what? If you're in Jesus Christ and we're in His truth, we ought to be cultivating unity or the same mind in Him as the truth is in Jesus. Right? The same mind. Romans 15. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Like-minded. Same. Having this thing of the same mind. Unity. What can you do to foster unity with others in our body or another person that you're around that's out there that's a Christian? You feel like they're a Christian and you can cultivate the same mind. Help them in the truth. That's a great one. Bear one another's burdens. Here's a one another. Bear one another's burdens. Sometimes, not literally, but sometimes you want to go and minister or speak a word that you say, can I have that burden for a while now, brother? Can I take it to God for you, with you? It's about to crush you. Bearing one another's burdens. Boy, Pilgrim's Progress has pictures of this, other books, other biographies that you read. And I've said this before, the John Newton story of how he ministered to William Cowper is almost unprecedented. The love that Newton had for William Cowper, to minister to him, to speak truth to him, to write hymns with him, to help him on and on and on. And I'm not talking about for 2 days or 2 weeks, for years he helped that man. He helped bear his burden. William Cowper struggled. No one here in this church and in this body should feel like they're bearing their burdens alone. They're not yours alone. They're all of ours. Through the years, Mac will call me or I'll call him, and there's things we're facing or our children are facing or our friends are facing or our parents are facing, and I want him in on it with me. And I want you in on it with me. I want to be in on yours. The brethren that are watching this, we're in this together. We're not carrying these things alone. Galatians, bear ye one another's burdens. And what? And so fulfill the law of Christ. Bearing each other's burdens. Helping them lift those things to God. None of us fix each other, right? Sometimes that actually can hurt somebody. We're not there to fix each other. We're there to love each other and bear each other's burdens. Husbands, you have to learn that with your wives. You love them and help them and encourage them. You can't just go fix everything they're facing. But you can bear with them, meaning love and pray and press on, helping, encouraging them. So you get the picture. Bear ye one another's burdens. Is the breeze coming? Anybody getting washed a little bit? Is the water coming a little bit higher and getting you? Another one. Edify. Edify one another. This comes from Romans 14. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Edifying. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together. That's a great one. There's back to that comforting. And edify one another, even as also you do. Edify. You know what this means? It means to build up. Or, I like this word, embolden. Y'all know what that means? Jess, you know what embolden means? It's like a strengthening something that's falling over or whatever. fence post or a wall or something. It's about to fall over. You're emboldening. You're edifying. You're helping build it up, strengthen it. So it keeps them stronger. If you're edifying them, it's not just adding some kind words, but you're actually bolstering their faith, right? You're building them up. Hey, brother, press on. God's with you. The Lord's with you. So it's like shoring up a building, strengthening something that's needing bracing and encouragement. So edify. Learn how to do that. There is a true art to it, isn't there? Wouldn't you say that? There's a certain art to that, learning how to speak a word in season, learning how to be there, learning how to be discerning, learning when to come in and learning when to give people space. It's not an exact formula. We're all made differently. God, our personalities, the way we think, the way we discern things. Yesterday when we were talking as men, I was talking about encouraging our children. As I got to the last points I was making yesterday, I got into some that were right down to how your heart helps your child's heart or their life. And I think there's truth in this right here in terms of edifying. Comforting yourselves and edify. Edify. Embolden. Build up one another. Another one. Exhort one another. You know what exhortation? To comfort. Comforting them. Exhorting. I had to go back today and last night I was looking back and forth at some of these key words again. When you exhort, now we think of it as just being something like, all right, press on, or stay with it. Don't quit. Don't hold back. Come on, come on, come on, press in. We think of it like that, almost like a coach or a runner that's running and people are cheering them on. And there's truth in that. But this comforting or this exhorting probably even has more truth even beyond that. It's about right there with them. It was at the end of Pilgrim's Progress last week, wasn't it? Hopeful. Oh, brother, I can feel the bottom. They were crossing the water, weren't they? Christian said, I'm done. You're the only one that's going to make it. What was Hopeful saying? Oh, no, you can feel it. It's there. We're crossing. And then Christian began to say, I can feel it. To exhort one another. There are some Christians that are phenomenal at this, aren't they? To exhort. You just want to hang out with them because they live it and they breathe it. And it is wonderful. It helps you. It comforts you. Their way of exhorting. Exhort one another daily, what is called today. Hebrews 3. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. This is in Hebrews 10. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. There it is, this picture. Exhorting one another daily. We have a dynamic of multiple ways we communicate, don't we? So the way we exhort is when we're with each other, and then what used to be only when men and women would write letters. But now we have all other kinds of ways. But we ought to learn to use them all. That helps us on. Mac and I, through the years, have developed some funny language of communicating early in the morning because I'm up and I'm at it. And we have certain ways we express things. But we don't talk in paragraphs. Right? Now, I used to say years ago that I don't text my wife. I just admit I do now. But I don't give her these kind. I give short, heartfelt, to the point expressions of love, comfort, support, whatever. And so that, you see where I'm going? Learn how to use building up or edifying. You know, learn how to do comforting and exhorting in creative, life-giving ways. And, brothers, in different ones, get a pen and small pieces of paper and learn how to write notes to your children and to your family and to your wife. It's amazing the power of doing it. I'm known as the guy in my family with all the children that does the little notes and the little spaces and stuff, the little drawings. But it's just a way of me expressing I'm with you, I love you. I'm supporting you. So exhorting and comforting. Another one, admonish one another. This thing of admonishing means to actually reprove gently, to help somebody to make ground, admonishing them. It's not just cheering them on. Admonishing them says, gain new ground, brother. Cut that off. Press on. God will give you grace. Turn away from this. Turn towards this. Put off this. Put on this. So admonishing one another. Let me read a few of these. Romans 15, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. That's Romans 15. Here's Colossians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So admonishing has to do with helping brethren not just press on and keep going, but also it has a way of helping them find new victory. Stay away and press on in these things. I admonish you. We do it as parents, don't we? We speak that way to our children. Sometimes our reproofs and our corrections are only coming across to help them take the next step, find new days of progress. So admonishing one another. I am astounded to this day when these things rule the way you view others, how you relate to others, that you have a spirit of comfort and love and this whole thing of building up and edifying. This in the workplace and around other non-Christians, they are staggered. They cannot believe somebody has that kind of an attitude towards them. Sometimes you almost see people think, I actually think he cares for me. Wow. That he actually has a bigger feeling towards what's going on here. Last time I checked, everybody needs this. We all need it. We all need to help each other to avoid stumbling blocks of sin. We need to help admonish each other. One of the biggest responsibilities for older men to younger men is right here. Let the older man teach the younger men. Let the older women teach the younger women. Teach you how to stay away from stumbling blocks of sins, teaching you how to walk as men, how to walk as women. So admonishing is all the time. Another one. Forbear with one another. You know this actually does mean to endure or put up with. Now, the Neelys and the Tomlinsons have never had to do this with each other. We're always just in perfect harmony, right? We laugh. You know this. Mac and I are at two ends of the spectrum in our natural wiring, right? And so, we're all in. Jesus Christ owns us and has brought us together and we're His. He may bury me or I may bury Him. You know what I'm saying? You see where I'm going with this? But we're all, this reality is being lived. It's been lived out a long time. I was younger than most all you guys when I met Him. But we've had to learn to forbear with one another. Right? We have to learn these things. Christ is in us. He helps us. We learn to be patient. We learn to be gentle. We learn to be kind. We learn to overlook each other's funny quirks. I know I have quirks. I talk about them a lot. They are silly, funny things. I'm sorry at times. Y'all have to bear with them. They're quirky things. Uh-oh, Philip's up to it again. So to forbear with one another does make us laugh, but we have to learn more of this, right? Otherwise, you'll be thinking, oh, I wish they'd send me their email back. Come on. You know, little things. Oh, blessed Lord, help us here. To forbear. Ephesians 4, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. Forbearing one another, what did it say, Michael? In love. Oh boy, we gotta do it in love, right? We can't just forbear like, oh, we'll go through this. In love. In love. Another one. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another if any man have a quarrel against any. So the forbearing, see the context here? This is in Colossians 3. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another if any man have a quarrel against any. This is why our marriages as a husband and a wife, as two joint heirs in Christ, we should be fostering this thing of peace and forbearing with each other, loving each other, long, gentle, suffering, care for each other. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. God's the God of peace. Jesus Christ brought peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Why shouldn't we be marked by that? We should. People should think, I like it when that person is around us. They bring peace. They're not cantankerous, argumentative. They have a spirit of peace. Next one, submit to one another. I don't know about you, but the waves are crashing in now, aren't they? I'm getting lifted up. The water's getting me now. Submit to one another. We don't have cliques here. We're not supposed to. We don't, by God's grace. There's no upper management and the rest of everybody. No, we're all in this together. He that's going to be great in the kingdom of God must be what? Become a servant of all. That's what Jesus said. God in the flesh serving mankind? Whoa! Washing men's feet, God in the flesh? Doing this for others? You talk about the example. Forget Mother Teresa and people that want to talk about people like that. Look at Jesus Christ. And we are to be like Him, pattern like Him, think like Him. So submitting one to another is having a low or a humble attitude, a spirit. Submit it yourselves. This is from Ephesians 5. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Peter, 1 Peter 5. Yea, all of you be subject or submitted one to another and be clothed with humility. Humility. Submitting yourselves one to another. We should all be approachable. We should all be teachable. I sit now at times and I listen to Lee preach or teach and I just sit there and sponge it up. A couple of the times when we've had the men's time and Lee did those teachings, William Bradford is one that comes to mind. I sat there just like a dry sponge, soaking it up. Wow. It was so helpful, so good. What am I saying? I want to be under that kind of teaching. I want to be sharpened. Iron sharpens iron. So we submit to one another. As Paul Washer likes to say, there's no big dogs or big heroes out there. So be subject one to another. Perhaps Saeed is our poster example in this area. He just walks in the earth, as I say to Krista. Nobody pays attention to him in the world. When I met him for a hamburger 2 weeks ago and showed up and he's just standing there by himself, I wanted to walk into the restaurant and say, everybody in here, stop what you're doing. This is one of the most precious men in the earth. I don't want you to say or do anything. I want you just to listen to him today. Bring your hamburgers around us and just listen. Right? Nobody else. No texting, no devices. Just listen to him. Just hear his heart. So phenomenal to be with somebody like that. But he has this right. He has that mind of Christ. He submits. He's humble. The next one, forgive one another. Now this one really ties back to that other one, doesn't it? Bearing with each other. The forbear to endure. Some of y'all look like it's getting a little hot around the collar. Oh, Philip's getting too close to me now. No, we're all feeling it. Forgive one another. Brethren, brothers, sisters, you young people, don't hold grudges. Don't hold aughts against others. Make restitution. Make reconciliation. Work with all that's within you to live at peace. Forgive one another. Be tender. Don't hold anything. Don't keep a ledger. Don't write things down. Don't have a long memory. Colossians 3. Forbear with one another and forgive one another. There it is. The forbearing is hanging in there, enduring. And the forgiving is don't hold it against them. For if any man have a quarrel against any, meaning forgive them, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. This area right here can be so unity preserving. We sometimes do things, say things, maybe imply things, it could hurt somebody. Sometimes we do it and then we realize we've done it. Sometimes we don't even realize we've done it. But if you're the one that's been offended or hurt, be careful not to hold on to that. Be tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. A few more. Have compassion. Have compassion for one another. 1 Peter 3. Finally, be ye of all one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. That's King James. Here, listen to the language of that. One mind, that's unity. Compassion. Compassion one of another. Love. Be courteous. Be tender. Be compassionate one of another. Compassion does what? What does it emphasize? It emphasizes the affections that are being stirred for each other. Aren't you compassionate for a little toddler, you dads and moms? And compassion, when they're walking in, and they might fall into something. You have compassion. You're right there, right? Boy, the other night, there was a bunch of celebration in our house. Our 14-month-old grandson, man, he just decided, here I go. So, I've heard this story. I wasn't standing there, right? But I've heard Grandma and them talk about it. And his mama was all the way across that great room. Is that right? And he let go, and here he goes. And he made it. So it was a big thing, but both grandmother and mother were watching all of this, right? If he was about to stumble or fall into something, they were right there. They were gonna let him hurt him. So they had compassion. That's just the way they think. I don't have to tell you moms to be compassionate. Those are your children. You bore them. Chad Stewart's wife that I had the privilege of doing his wedding this past summer, his wife Chelsea is now 4 months with child. So she comes by the office every now and then. A child, a son. I looked at her the other day and I said, you ladies get to carry a human life. I still just marvel. And she smiled. Yeah, it's pretty unique. But anyway, this thing of life, you know, this compassion and care and loving affections being stirred for each other. Peter was telling us something, wasn't he? Have compassion one of another. A few more. Confess sin to one another. If you sin or you hurt a brother or sister, quickly, tenderly reconcile. Confess your sin, meaning make it right. We're not asking you to come here and tell us everything you did, guys, when you were 18 or 19 years old. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about in the life of the body, in the church body, confessing where you've hurt somebody, making it right, going to them, trying to be sensitive to that. James 5, confess your faults one to another. Dads, you have to do it with your children. You have to do it with your wives. Mothers, you have to do it as well. Wives, you have to do it to your husband. Husbands, when Krista was gone a few weeks ago with her parents, early in the time with Jesse and Michaela, and I might have alluded to this, early in our time, I said something that was way too sharp to them. And the Holy Spirit immediately said, you need to make that right. And so, somewhere in that, I got the kids, I said, I want to tell you, I'm so sorry. I was wrong. It was wrong. The spirit behind that was wrong. And it's like God gave, not just cleansing, but He gave new life to our connection, the three of us. That was now put aside. That wasn't going to hold like a cloud over us. over me. Confess. Confess your faults one to another. It's a Christian life, isn't it? That's how we live. A church is a living, sharing, interacting body, people. Pray for one another. You knew I'd get to this one. Pray for one another. We have the joy of doing just that. Praying for one another. Sending prayer requests. Coming together corporately to pray. Being together in twos and threes and fours. Praying before worship. Praying on Wednesday night. Praying alone as a family for one another. This is a part of the life beat of the church, right? We said that love was the root. Prayer is one of the big arms on that tree. All of these are important. They all make up the tree, the picture. But praying for one another is this incredible privilege to cry out to God to do great things for you. Acts chapter 12 starts, big man Herod is the boss, right? Oh, has James, the brother of John, put to death. Gets Peter and has him locked up. Yeah, you're really in control, Herod. The angel of the Lord comes that night, releases Peter. And what does it say in the flow of all that text? What were the saints doing? They were praying. They were continuing in prayer for Peter. Peter's released. He comes outside the city or whatever, and then he comes to his senses and says, this isn't a dream. This is for real. So he goes to where the saints are gathered. Rhoda. Who is it? It's Peter. Does she open the gate? No! She runs back. They're praying for Peter. They said, why didn't you let him in? So what's my point? Herod starts a chapter in control, ends the chapter eaten of worms. You remember that? And all throughout that story, Peter, God's servant, is spared. God's with him. And the saints continually praying. So if we're praying for Andy and Rebecca Hamilton on a Wednesday night at Mac and Linda's, we can believe it is a big deal. It is a big deal. God's in the prayers of His people. Saeed looked at me with tears in his eyes and said, the prayers that y'all have offered for me are a part of the lifeline, how God keeps me. Confess your faults one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. James chapter 5. Last two. Greet one another. Hey, brother. How you doing? No. It means it's a heartfelt expression of love. You get around Nick Hansen, he's not going to take a handshake very often. That's all right. I think he's been reading the New Testament. Salute one another with a holy kiss. Romans 16. 2 Corinthians, greet one another with a holy kiss. That's what it says, beloved. Bear ye one another's burdens and so forth. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. That's the next one. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. This is an expression, a language of this embracing God's people. And it's heartfelt. It's natural. Should be. Right? It's just greeting one another. You want a wonderful picture of this? Just have a writer it's a secular writer. Say, can you let me see this? I don't know how this happens, but I hear about this. I hear that Christians have a real love for each other. Even those they don't see very often. Even new Christians. And they said, can you take me somewhere I can just sit there and observe this? Yeah. Come with me. In April, there's going to be a conference. And you're going to sit at the registration table, and you're not going to say anything. Can't take any pictures. I want you just to watch. And there's going to be Christians come from Colorado, and there's going to be Christians come from Louisiana, and there's going to be Christians come from all over, Arkansas and Missouri and Texas and Louisiana and California and across the oceans. And just watch what they do. Hey, Michael, good to see you. Hey, Jess, good to see you. No, it's going to be more than that. It's going to be love expressed from the heart, hugging one another, caring for each other, expressing love. So these are the pictures of the New Testament. These are to be the pictures of us. We're His people. Greet ye one another with affection, or with a tender heart, a real heart. A couple of times I've gone to the airport to pick Mac up after one of those long trips. His time in Fiji is just still very memorable to me when he got back from Fiji. And this is probably, what, 6 years ago, 7 years ago? And time clocks and what time zone he's on. He comes glazed over walking out. And he's ready to be home with Linda and those children. But there's an incredible feeling you have at that moment, right? To see each other, to have that bond, to be able to hug each other. What a gift. This is a gift of God. Last one, showing hospitality one to another. Hospitality, hosting each other, opening up your resources. There's times and seasons in this when you have the ability, your schedule, your resources, your strength, your health. But hospitality is really a heart attitude of sharing, opening up, sharing with the brethren, ministering to them. All of us can do this in different ways. It doesn't have to be an expensive thing. It just needs to be a heartfelt thing if you have others who come in, others who have needs. And showing hospitality, caring for others, can even be simple things like treating others, buying them a meal, or other things you can do to show hospitality. Brethren who travel through, 1 Peter 4, verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging, with joy. Grudging has no place in the New Testament church at any level. Using hospitality. Isn't that a precious thing? Using hospitality? Years ago, remember when the brethren borrowed our old VW bus and drove it to Bentley? It's just a rolling bread box that the wind blows all over the place. But I think Baker and them, they needed more space. I said, okay, it's kind of a funny vehicle. Big VW bus. You know, picture those things from the hippie generation. But it was a small way just to take it, use it. Some of you are pillars in this, truly. And I don't even have to name names. But hospitality. Let me close. Beloved, we are His people. Acts chapter 2 is a glorious, wonderful picture for us, but it's for us. Right? The reality. Experientially, we can participate in the same things, and I think we already do in God's kindness. We are one body with many members. All members are connected. We all share and exchange these things. So these one another's that I just went through quickly are to be shown, expressed in our walking together. Amen.